all the way to a broad, you know, hands-free bill. So there's a little bit of everything. We've obviously been given a lot of testimony up there with our expertise in all these areas, trying to keep the legislators as informed as we can. The only funding bill that I know has had some discussion, you know, made it into committee and through some discussion, is a net revenue neutral type of bill where to have some gas tax added on one side, they'd be looking at lowering like Missouri income tax on the other side, and it'd be net neutral. A couple of those types of bills have been being discussed on the gas tax side, but also on the fees side, like the registration fees and that type of thing for your car. Since neither one of those revenue items has been increased in years and years, they're looking at both of those items. But like I said, the ones that seem to have gotten the most discussion so far are the revenue neutral ones, where something else would have to happen on the other side of the revenue stream to lower taxes. So I think I had discussed with you several weeks ago that they had formed the 21st Century Task Force last year, and the findings of that task force were the recommendations were a 10-cent gas tax, 12-cent diesel tax, increases in fees, because like I said, the fees have not been increased in years and years, for registration and that type of thing. And it does seem to, like I said, it seems to have gotten some traction, some attention. Like I said, lots of bills filed on that. So more to come. There's been more discussion earlier than what we expected. We had been told that there probably wouldn't even be discussion until April, so we figure that some discussion starting in March is a positive sign towards maybe, you know, reaching some type of at least maybe letting something move forward for a vote this fall. So we'll see. On the safety side, we're continuing to educate on the increased safety of using your seat belts and not using your phone in your car. We call that the Buckle Up, Phone Down campaign. We've got a website. You can go to our website, the MoDOT website, and sign up and take the pledge. That's what our big thing is right now, is trying to get people to take the pledge. We have that available on an individual basis, but we also have that available if the county has some type of policy already in place that you feel like would be in line with the using your seatbelt and not using your phone. There's two levels to that. There is the what they call the gold standard, which would not be using a smartphone at all in your vehicle, no calls and no text. And then there's also just the regular level, which would be hands-free, which would allow calling, but just not would have to be a hands-free device. So I'm trying to let all my counties and my cities know. We've got a lot of businesses and counties and cities that have already signed up. There's a huge once you sign up for that, your company emblem can be downloaded to the site, and if you scroll through the site, there's just pages and pages of folks that have already signed up. So we're trying to show some momentum there, because obviously there's some safety legislation that's trying to be passed too. So we're trying to put a large emphasis on that. Frankly, we've spent a lot of money on engineering, and I'm getting, we get calls every day on something that people feel like they need to have made safer. And really, if we could get people's, lifestyles to change and put that phone down and put the seatbelts on, we could save more lives that way than I can ever save spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. So, because we have crashes that look like you should survive them, and we'll have fatalities, and then we have crashes because they didn't use their seatbelt, and then we'll have crashes that look like no one could survive it, they wore their seatbelt, and they walk away. So we've seen that over and over again. So let's turn if there's anything else. On the maintenance side, obviously we're gearing up for our, the busy season with the asphalt patching, and this winter was pretty rough on roads, and so we're doing a lot of patching. We're doing a lot of pipe replacements this time of the year is what you'll typically see us doing. Starting to do some spraying, trying to get out ahead on the noxious weeds and that type of thing. So there'll be a lot of folks out on the road doing like slow-moving type of operations, or best case scenario is when we actually have a work zone that is fully flagged and we've either closed the road or we've got flaggers. But a lot of our operations like spraying and maybe road edge treatment stuff are moving operations, and those seem to be more challenging for motorists. So I just urge everybody to keep their eyes open for our crews out there, because we're getting into the busy season again, and there will be more. Our state bird is the orange cone, so we'll be out there, and we're hoping everybody will pay attention and keep themselves safe and keep our crews safe too. So you guys got any questions for me at all?
Did you say that one of the bills they're talking about is 10-cent increase in tax?
Yeah, that was actually what was recommended by the task force, and there are bills on both sides of the House. If I hadn't printed it so small, I could probably actually find you the number, but there's bills on both sides of the House for a 10-cent gas increase, 12-cent diesel tax increase, and also a change in the fee structure. And depending on who's filed them, some of them are kind of an all-in-one, and some of them are each separate, bill for each step of that process. So,
that would make the actual currently gas prices that make the tax on gas 22.6%, and tax on diesel 23%.
Is that including the federal also?
Yeah.
I don't know what percentage, because obviously it changes.
Whenever you start looking at what the percentages are versus. And then I thought you guys came out with a report, was it last year or 2 years ago, that you actually had more money in surplus because prices were down, so people bought more gas?
What we have seen in when we came out of the recession, we definitely saw a recovery in vehicle miles traveled. People are traveling more. And we also saw an increase in revenue from people buying new vehicles. And what we're seeing now is both of those are leveling off, because all those new vehicles have a much better gas mileage to them. So we're still seeing more vehicle miles traveled, but the gas usage is peaking. We haven't seen really any major increase in that. And also vehicle sales have pretty much kind of topped out. So all of our projections are that we're probably going to stay the same or even slightly decline as far as revenues right now.
Well, I was just thinking, and I could be wrong, but yeah. Was it 2 years ago that there was a... MoDOT was really worried, and then all of a sudden
we are still worried, and maybe I'm not conveying that very well. We are still spending into the trust fund,
right?
Yeah, we are still spending the trust fund down, because to meet our federal match, which is 20% to 80% federal, we still don't have enough revenues coming in the door to meet that federal match.
I was thinking again, within the last 2 years, you guys did meet the match, and so there was the pressure was off a little bit.
Yeah.
The immediate pressure was off.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that it was told to us that the reason for that was because of the increase in purchasing of fuel. Because fuel prices were lower.
Yes, that's
so
true.
If that's true, if you raise the tax, it's going to raise the cost of fuel. Mm-hmm. Are you going to turn around and reverse what worked 2 years ago?
Well, I guess what we're saying is that 2 years ago, we're already seeing declines. I mean, we've hit a peak, and we're already going back down because of the fact that we're getting better fuel-efficient cars out there.
Right.
We're seeing more of the electric cars. We're seeing more fuel-efficient
cars. And I understand you're trying to cut, as a whole, MoDOT and the legislation is trying to find a solution. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that having a current prices at 23% tax is...
Well, what they did...
Now, if gas goes back up to $3 or $4, it's not going to be 23%.
Is my understanding is what they did when they looked at this issue was, and that I left out the fact that they're also wanting to, most of those bills are wanting to index the fuel tax from now on with the inflation rate. And that's what has really hurt us. It's not so much that we haven't raised by a vote since 1992 the gas tax, and it's a flat tax. It went up over a 3-year period. So in 1996, it was brought up to the 17 cents. They took a look at that, and in today's dollars, to match the same spending power that we had back in 1996, that's why they're proposing the 10 cents, because that basically 27 cents would get us up to the same buying power that we had back in 1996.
Gotcha.
That's the basis for that. And the same way with the vehicle fees and stuff, those literally, those have not been adjusted in like 30 to 40 years. I'd have to, each one of them is a little bit different, but we haven't touched any of the fee structure in years and years. We are the only state in the entire nation that still uses horsepower, I guess, to base some of our fees structure on. I'm not familiar with how that exactly works, but I'm just told that it's hard to do that with modern vehicles and know what you're actually. I mean, it's something that dates clear back to the turn of the century, and we never have changed it. So I don't know if that's going to change or not either. But yeah, the 10 cents was actually based on what they felt like our inflation was from the last time we actually did a tax increase, which would have, like I said, the implementation would have been in 96 was the last raise. They actually voted it in 92. But
and again, maybe this isn't fair to you, but how much is set aside in the budget for grants and for different things, for other things besides roads?
We don't have any money set aside. We have a very small amount that's multimodal, and that would be like ports and airports and things like that. And part of that funding actually comes from general revenue. And that's actually part of the recommendation also is there would be an increase in general revenue to try to help multimodal type projects. Other than that, we do have some federal funds that cover sidewalks grants, but that's the only thing that I can think of that doesn't go towards maintenance of the roads. That is the good thing about the Highway Trust Fund is that gas tax and the fees and the sales tax all go into the trust fund, which are separate from general revenue, and they're only to go to the roads. Now, out of that, we pay the Department of Revenue for collection of those fees, and the Highway Patrol comes out of our budget right now because they're viewed as this, you know, the safety enforcement on the roadways. There is a bill being proposed right now that would take them out of our funding and create separate funding for them. That's one option that's been put out there, too, because I believe their budget is, I want to say, $250 million a year, something like that for them. So.
I was curious.
Yeah, good questions.
On a side note, I noticed that you're doing mowing, like under the maintenance, now that wasn't being done for several years.
Yes. I can only chop that up to a change in leadership.
Okay.
Because we haven't had a change. I don't think we've had a direct change in direction from headquarters, but our new district engineer feels like that is a maintenance burden that we just are deferring. And that it's a safety issue too on some of these narrower roads that we need to get good sight distance on all our curves and that type of thing. But what we were seeing was when we would mow back and we would put it off for a year or two, like only do it every other year or maybe even less. We're seeing a lot of damage to our tractors and our mowers because we're trying to mow into areas that are clear over the top of the tractor. And so he's hoping to be better neighbors to people that are obviously next to our right of way and also keep our costs down by not creating those maintenance headaches every other year when we do mow outs. So we're going to be, as far as I know, we'll stay with that policy and be more aggressive with the mowing from now on. I don't think the cycle length will change. We're probably still only looking at, you know, two or three mowings a year, but that finished mowing in the fall and winter will be more aggressive.
You mentioned that some counties had joined on the safety in regard to cell phones and so forth. What have they actually joined on? There's several things on the cell phone. So what are they actually joining on?
There's two, like I said, there's two levels. And if we're not asking you to pass new policies, but we do have example policies on there in case there's somebody that needs to know how to, you know, implement those policies. We have an example of ours. But there's two levels. Basically, there's what they're calling the gold standard, which is that you require your employees to use their seatbelt, and you also have no use of a phone in a company vehicle. No calls, no text, no nothing. And then there's just the regular level, which is basically the use your seatbelt, and you can't text, but you can make hands-free calls.
Hands-free.
Yeah. So those are the two levels.
Because our road department receives, you know, many calls while they're out in regard to one or the other, and they have hands free, I do believe.
Yeah. And we still, you know, you won't see us using our phones, but we still have an emergency policy. Like, if I see something in the middle of the road, if I can pull over, I'm going to pull over and make that phone call. But if I can't, I'll make that phone call to make sure that we get somebody out there to you know, get rid of a safety hazard or that type of thing. But
so if the law passed that there was no phones to be used at all, you would make exception if you had an emergency.